Hey there, 20-somethings. Welcome on back to another episode of the I've Been There podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you have been here before and you've listened to some of my episodes, I appreciate you dearly. And if you're new here, thank you for listening and tuning in. I wanted to hop in here before we get into the actual pre-recorded episode with an incredible expert on all things health and wellness. I wanted to preface what this episode is about because it is a little bit more geared toward my female audience. In this episode, I chat with Kai Christensen. She is a holistic health coach, but she has a special niche for hormones and fertility and all things the women's reproductive cycle. So if you are a male or you are not very interested in this topic, hey, it could be helpful. The information that we talk about could definitely be helpful if you are a man to just kind of understand what goes on with women's hormones and their cycle each month. But especially for women, if you're tuning in, this episode is going to be extremely helpful. It was very eye-opening for me. I was able to learn more about my own hormones, and I was really shocked and surprised by all of the different symptoms that society has told us is normal, that PMS is normal, and certain symptoms that we have, especially on our time of the month, we've been told that it's so normal. And Kai actually breaks this down and lets us know that a lot of these symptoms are not normal. It's actually our body screaming out for help, that our hormones are severely imbalanced. But she dives into all of the things that you can do to have healthier hormones so you can have a healthier body, a healthier mindset. You don't have to go through a stressful week every single month of your life. She really helps you dive into the different foods that you can eat, the different exercises, and the different habits that you can integrate into your life so that you can have a healthier mindset and a healthier body, like I mentioned. So that's what this episode is all about. I really hope you enjoy it just as much as I did. Like I said, it was very eye-opening, and I'm really looking forward to applying some of her strategies for a healthier lifestyle into my own life. So with that being said, here we go, diving into the conversation that I had with the lovely holistic health coach, Kai Christensen. All right, 20-somethings, welcome back to another episode of the I've Been There podcast. I have a super special guest here with us today. Her name is Kai Christensen, and she is a holistic health coach. I have known her for about 3 years now, and we've been very close. We met in a business mastermind, and she led me through some portion of my own fitness and health journey, and just super excited to have her on the show and talk all things hormones, why they're important, the things that we can do to have a healthier body so that we can ultimately be happier and feel better, especially in our 20s. So welcome to the show, Kai. Thanks for joining.
Amazing. Yay. I'm so excited. I'm going to kind of dive into the period cycle, hormones, and all that fun stuff. So
yeah, awesome. So let's dive right in. Tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you currently do as a holistic health coach.
Absolutely. So for anyone that's listening, essentially what I do is I'm a holistic health coach. And really my main goal is to empower women across the nation in their journey towards a healthier lifestyle. And so what that looks like, it's through personalized and strategic online coaching. And I guide and support individuals to be able to make a transformative changes that entail diet adjustments, behavioral changes, hormone balance, mental well-being, and then overall holistic wellness. The thing is with me is like my approach, it comes from like, it's very comprehensive. So it's not only addressing like the dietary changes, but it's also like the underlying behavioral and emotional aspects that contribute to overall well-being. And so I really help women navigate hormonal imbalances and provide like really simple strategic strategies to be able to achieve ultimate balance. Mental health is also a crucial part of my coaching, and I focus on, you know, be able to teach how to cultivate positive mindset and emotional resilience. And then beyond that, I have a really big knack for internal systems operations. So I love being able to see a business and how it currently operates and then implement like infrastructure systems to make it basically run more smoothly and then be able to utilize the resources so everything could be a full to be able to be fully optimal as well.
That's awesome. I love that. And it's just so I'm like smiling here listening to you say all that, just because, like I mentioned, we met about 3 years ago, and just to see you thriving at what you're doing now, kind of finally being like where you've always wanted to be is just really, really great to see. And it's very inspiring. So kudos to you. And you mentioned a couple of things that you do in regard to hormone health and all of that good stuff. And I definitely think that hormones are becoming a more talked about topic, especially mm-hmm. in the health industry and especially with all of these health influencers. I definitely see it's a lot more common. So walk us through what even are hormones for anybody that doesn't quite know, or they might know, but they don't know a lot about it. And why are they so important to our overall health, both men and women?
Absolutely. And so, Nikki, I think it's really great, first of all, A, that you want to understand and learn it, but you also want your audience to understand and learn this, because what most people don't understand is men and women, we run on our hormones. They affect our mood, our energy, our emotions, the energy output and input and all of that fun stuff. And so it's really incredible for not only women to understand their hormones, but even men, just so we can get a better understanding of our internal, what's going on internally, so that we can kind of react upon that versus being proactive on that versus being reactive to like our emotions and when they come up and like what the hell. So I'll just kind of go through pretty point blank of like what the emotions are. We have four main sex hormones. We have estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, or actually three main ones, testosterone, and then we have things called LH and then FSH. So the reason why this is important for men and women, the bigger thing that we need to understand that differentiates men and women, men have a 24-hour hormonal cycle, which means they're basically the same every single day. But when it comes to women, we have a 28-day to 32 days, just kind of depends on each woman. That's why it's very important as women, we track our hormonal cycle on an app. We have a 28-day to 32 hormonal cycle, which means no 2 days are essentially the same for us, and our hormones are different each week. So it's really important for us to understand what the hormones are, where they're at, and what they're doing each week, so we can understand how to work with our hormones versus working against it. Because if we don't understand our hormones and what's going on before or after our period, what's going to happen is usually what has happened to the majority is we have all these emotions and things are coming up, and we tend to blame ourselves for feeling a certain way or maybe not having enough energy, and then beating ourselves up, and then just kind of creating this whole cycle of just things that aren't necessarily productive. So it's a beautiful thing to be able to understand your hormones, your period cycle, to be able to get just a better understanding of who you are and start working with it versus working against it. So coming back, I'm going to go first things into estrogen. So estrogen is an essential hormone that affects the reproductive tract, the urinary tract, the heart, and the blood vessels. It also has an effect on like your bones, your breasts, your skin, hair, your pelvic muscles, and the brain. So both men and women have to have a certain type of balance of estrogen. So too much estrogen in women specifically can cause breast pain, mood swings, anxiety, depression, irregular or heavy periods, weight gain, especially in the midsection of the thighs. So if mm-hmm. you're a woman who's coming in listening right now and you find that the most of your weight gain comes through your midsection and your thighs, it could be a cause of higher estrogen. And the one way we would be able to figure that out would be to get blood work done, which is something I'll mention a couple times throughout this chat of how important it is to get our blood work done so we can understand where we are at. So it's one thing to have assumptions through just the symptoms of what we're seeing, and then it's all, and then to have the actual, like, written on paper, this is exactly what it is. It takes to be able to take the recognition and accountability of ourselves to a whole other level. And that's when you can solve all the shit that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
For estrogen goes, other issues that can come out is like labor burden, PMS, memory and sleeping issues, and then also a decrease in libido. So now we know what too much estrogen does. So now let's go into what happens if you have too little of estrogen. So in specific to women, right? When we have too little of estrogen, it can be caused from night sweats. What can happen is we can have night sweats, also tender breasts as well. Mood swings, anxiety, depression can come in as well there. Your loss of period. So not having a period for a longevity of some time, which can happen if you are on synthetic hormones like birth control, and then you want to get off of it. What happens is your birth control, they are putting synthetic hormones into your body, and it's telling your body to not produce the normal hormones that we actually have. So when we get off the birth control, there's a time frame of which our bodies are coming into recognition of, oh, we need to produce those regular hormones that we have. But until our body's able to regulate itself, which can take from 6 months to a year to do, it won't be able to produce much of any hormones. So there's this gap in time of the lack of hormones that we have, in which we can have the symptoms. There's so many symptoms for this. So just something to also be aware of. Going back into what happens when we have little to of estrogen in our body is early menopause, right? Insomnia, weak or brittle bones, lack of focus can come up, headaches around your period, weight gain. And then what we have too is it's also in cause of high estrogen or from external poison as well. So the reason why I bring this up is if we are, everything in this environment can be from a just straight environmental standpoint, can be a little bit more toxic. So when we're talking about perfumes, pesticides, different types of chemicals, these things can actually affect and lower and decrease our estrogen, which then can cause all of the symptoms that I'm talking about as well. Mm. So when we have lower estrogen, to kind of really look at not only, or to really look at the toxins that are also around us. And again, that goes into pesticides, fragrances, parabens. So looking at the products that you're putting into your body, that you're on your hair and skin and stuff, and also just like regular chemicals that are in the air, mm-hmm. and, you know, different cleaning supplies and stuff like that too. And so those are the kind of effects of what estrogen does in our body. And when you have super high or low effects, the second main hormone is going to be progesterone. So progesterone is in line with the main thing is like thickening the lining of their inner uterus for implementation. So what that kind of looks like in progesterone, and specifically talking about within women, one thing is progesterone helps the regulation of bleeding during menstruation. And then it's also supports a pregnancy once conception has occurred. So once, if you were to conceive, right, and have an egg to kind of come in, one thing progesterone does as a hormone, it really supports the pregnancy from a hormonal level to be able to go further from there and start really curating and creating the baby and everything. Progesterone is also good. It also coincides with improving of your mood. It also supports your thyroid function, and it supports lactation as well. So when you are pregnant, be able to get more, be able to create more breast milk. So that's one thing to know out there. If you are a mother, if you're soon to be a mother and you're not lactating as much, it could be due to a low progesterone in your body. So not enough progesterone can increase the risk of miscarriage and preterm labor. It also can increase PMS, irregular periods, mood swings like anxiety and depression, you know, those high highs and low lows, mm-hmm. Vaginal dryness and hot flashes. Too much of progesterone, interestingly enough, it's not actually too big of an issue. So it's really not something we need to have any concern about. But if estrogen is too high, it can lower progesterone or increase the estrogen. So basically what that's saying is the ratio between progesterone and estrogen, they want to make sure that they're level, because if one's too high and one's too low, that's when it can really cause additional issues. So, and
it
again,
sounds like the, I was just going to say, it sounds like the estrogen is like kind of like the main player we want to keep an eye on. Is that right?
Yeah, basically. I mean, they're all not necessarily, because they're all three very important and they do very different things. So it's always the one thing I always recommend for anyone that feels like their hormones are off is to get them tested to see specifically where they are off and to work with a specific health practitioner that can help you through, you know, supplementation and lifestyle changes to get them balanced. Okay. One is not more necessarily important than the other. They all just have such different things that they do that are important to the body. Yeah. Another big one though, coming from progesterone is testosterone. So testosterone is a big thing for your libido, your muscle growth, and your strength gains. You know, it's a huge indicator for good health growth, hair growth, and bone density. So if you or you know someone is losing hair, right, or their hair is thinning, that can tell you they either have too high of testosterone or they don't have any testosterone at all. So that's why it's really important to have a very healthy level of testosterone so we can ensure that we're getting the correct muscle recovery and retention and we're keeping the hair growth. So low testosterone specifically in women can decrease libido, limit muscle growth and performance gains, also aid in more of depression, anxiety, have insomnia, thinning hair, which we already talked about, dry and brittle nails, infertility, and then a lack of energy. High testosterone could be a potential sign for PCOS. So PCOS is polycystic ovarian syndrome. It's a hormone balancing that affects 1 in 10 women, but essentially it's a condition where you have few or unusually very long periods. So it also causes like excessive weight gain and can wreak havoc a lot through your everyday life. So but high testosterone is a potential sign of this, and low testosterone can be caused by, you know, because I think a lot of people, they actually do have low testosterone, but they're not necessarily in awareness of it. So some signs of low testosterone could be they're caused from stress, lack of sleep, overexertion, right? Because a lot of people, if you think about it, they're incredibly overstressed. They don't sleep that well, or they're getting in this whole just overexertion of themselves, but they're not allowing yourself to actually be able to relax. So that's what the essential main hormones are. In addition, there's LH, FSH. These are just smaller ones. So LH is basically when your body is creating an egg, it's like the egg's cheerleader to be able to trigger it to kind of go up the fallopian tube so it can actually really continue that process. Then we have FSH, which is the hormone that initiates your ovaries to develop follicles, be able to create a mature egg. So those are more coincide with when you do get pregnant and when you do start to conceive. And that's essentially what those look like.
Wow, amazing. The human body is literally incredible. And it's just so wild, like especially the female body. I mean, there's just so much going on at all times for an entire month, like you said, 28 to 32 days. So give yourself some credit. Any female who's listening who, you know, might have some wild hormones going on, which is exactly what I wanted to segue into. You did mention a couple of symptoms that could be triggered by too much of estrogen, too little, too much of testosterone, and vice versa. So what are those most common symptoms that females usually experience, especially around that time of month, that we and society has kind of considered normal, but they're actually not normal at all, and they're signs of a hormonal imbalance?
Yeah, exactly. So the thing here, which is it's kind of screwed up, it's very, very backwards, because unfortunately, most women, 90%, I don't know the exact percentage, but most women around us, they experience severe cases of PMS. And PMS that consists of cramps, headaches, mood swings, you know, depression, anxiety, cravings, you know, we have massive bloat, acne that comes up, you know, back pain, excessive exhaustion, poor sleep, low sex drive, irritability, you know, tender breasts and swelling, and skin changes. So like dryness or rashiness or very oily. All of these are considered PMS, which is actually considered to not be normal at all. So if we know that we are experiencing any of these PMS symptoms, it's actually not normal. And then if you ask me like, Kai, well, why it's not normal, but everyone has it, it's because unfortunately the majority of people don't have, their hormones are either not imbalanced or their periods are just out of whack. And that's something that we need to be able to educate ourselves on so we can understand that these things are actually not normal. And they're only normalized because of the mass majority deals with it. Just because most people deal with it doesn't mean that it's clinically normal. So that's something I want to make very clear right now too. So you heard it right here. If you're dealing with any of these symptoms every single month, they're not normal. But there are things that you can do to alleviate PMS because you actually don't have to have pain periods. You can actually be totally good and not exhausted at all, not have any of these symptoms. And when you get to that point, that tells you that your body's in a beautiful regulatory state.
I'm sure everybody's dying to know what are some of those things that we can do to have more regulated hormones.
Yeah, as far as like working out, things to eat and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, and the reason I asked that question is because I have myself have gone through a healing journey after getting off of birth control. I got off in December of last year, and my main symptom was acne, and I'm still struggling with it. But before I actually got off the pill, I read the book Beyond the Pill, and it explained a lot of what we're talking about here. And she taps into the different like foods you can eat and the activities you can do to support a healthier period. But through that, I discovered that there was actually a lot that I was doing that I thought was just normal or would be okay. And I actually found out that there were some things that I should not be doing. For example, it's recommended not to do these heavy, strenuous weightlifting workouts the week of your period because your body actually needs that time to decompress. So it was eye-opening to me. So I'm definitely positive that there's people out there who are still kind of pushing their limits whenever they're on their period, or, you know, they may not be eating the healthiest foods on during that week or even the weeks leading up to it or the weeks after, just because we think that it's just like this regular thing that happens every day, right? So I would really appreciate any knowledge that you have around some of the things that we can do to alleviate these symptoms and have a healthier, happier period.
I'm going to go into that from a general stance, right? So that's something I'm going to address from a general standpoint because each person is, they're very individual, right? And so the main thing that I really want to ensure that anyone who's listening in is the information I'm going to give is going to be from a general standpoint. And the number one thing I do recommend is get your blood work done. Because if you get your blood work done, you can see exactly where your sex hormones are. Then you can clearly identify specifically what to do and what not to do if you are working with a practitioner on that. Now, from there, I'll give you some general stuff that you could do that will most likely help. I mean, for me, a lot of my journey came from me generalizing and identifying what were my symptoms and then looking into that. So I think the biggest things is really, you know, tracking your cycle. Where are you within your cycle? So the one thing we didn't get into is like the different weeks and the levels that we are, which you can probably get into. But understanding each week where you are at and then knowing what emotions can kind of coincide with those. So you know exactly what to do and what not to do each week. The second thing is, the biggest thing is, you know, your food, right? Understanding the foods that you are putting into your body, making sure they're clean, right? So eating a whole, kind of like, you can do a Mediterranean diet just to like give yourself like a good idea of what to do, but like just whole foods, eating whole foods and eliminating processed sugars, processed carbs, alcohol, and coffee. So these three things, processed sugars, carbs, alcohol, and coffee, those are going to be the worst detriments for your period, especially coffee. Coffee kicked my ass. I love coffee. So Coffee is my favorite. I still drink decaf every day just because I love the whole, I love everything about coffee. But I know when it's coming close to my period, or even just in general to not have, I think when it's close to coming on my period or just in general to not really overconsume coffee because it can really exacerbate PMS symptoms entirely. And that goes the same thing with alcohol. As we know, alcohol is very toxic to the body just in general. Doesn't really have any additional like scientific benefits. And one of the things that sucks about it is it can also really screw up your PMS as well.
Yeah, caffeine is a huge one. It's something that I'm trying to wean off of as well. I was never a huge coffee drinker. Not honestly, it's weird. Not until like the pandemic, I was just like bored, started drinking coffee. But I think that I have a I'm definitely sensitive to it, to the point where I had to get a heart monitor a couple weeks ago, because even just like if I have over a cup, I start to like have palpitations, and it actually makes me more tired sometimes.
Yes.
And it has the opposite effect. And then like, again, there's like that misconception of, oh, you're feeling so tired because it's your period. So like, just drink a coffee to try to make yourself a little bit livelier. And what you're saying is that's kind of the extreme opposite effect.
Yeah, well, it's, what sounds like with you, Nikki, is some, especially if you're getting tired from that caffeine effect, that actually could indicate that you have thyroid imbalances as well. So when we drink coffee, it actually can overexert our stress hormones. And that stress hormones, when we're having too much of the stress hormones, which is cortisol pumping into the body, can actually have an adverse effect on the thyroid, which our thyroid is a big, it has a big connection to our emotions and our energy.
That makes so much sense, because all last week I was stressed because I took my group fitness certification on Friday.
Yeah.
And then went out Friday night to celebrate. So then Saturday I was tired, had a coffee, and then was up late Saturday night. And then Sunday had a coffee, was feeling extremely exhausted.
Yeah.
And then today is Monday, and I'm like, I feel like I definitely felt like not only tired, but like my nervous system was just like shot when I woke up this morning, even though I got like 10 hours of sleep.
Totally. Exactly. So that tells me that, I think a big thing of what we want to learn about coffee is actually, it doesn't actually give us energy. It actually shuts off the receptors in our brain that tell us we're tired, which is really horrible for people like you and me. Cause I have to be very sensitive to my thyroid as well. And I can't do coffee that much because of how much it can screw up my system. So what I do instead of coffee, I will supplement for like B12. So anyone that has like thyroid issues or energy issues, or maybe you drink coffee and you feel the opposite effects, or sensitive to these things, instead of supplementing with coffee, which is, you know, it's giving you fake energy, it just shuts off the tired receptors in your brain to get like real energy. So B12 is a huge vitamin that a lot of people are deficient in, B complex B12. And in order for us to combat the tiredness, to give ourselves that real sustainable energy, it's going to be that B12. So you can either take an actual B12 supplement, or what I've been taking has been these like Zip Fizz. It's like a B12 plus like a multivitamin. But those personally for me, I just feel there unfortunately is some additive stuff in there. So I don't definitely recommend to everyone, because there's just additive stuff that's not that great. But yeah, just to add that more in there, because that's going to be really helpful for you. And just to eliminate coffee entirely, if you want to go for a caffeine thing, do green tea, because green tea has more antioxidants and it's going to be a more sustainable energy intake versus the coffee that like comes up and then will crash down. Yeah. So other than that, eating whole foods. And then also a big thing too, is if you're having a lot of issues with PMS, is to eliminate as much toxicity as possible. So what that looks like is looking at all of your household stuff, anything that you're putting on your skin that's around you. So making sure your water is a high quality water, that you're not, you know, drinking tap water or anything else like that. Making sure there's no fluoride or anything in your water. Another thing is like your toothpaste, your face wash, whatever you put on your body, your lotion, your hair stuff, right? Our skin is our biggest organ, and these could be the biggest endocrine disruptors, which are hormone disruptors that we want to do first thing. And that's the biggest thing you can have control over, right? That's also going to be kind of not relatively cheapest, but my best suggestion for that, because it can be overwhelming when you're like, I'm trying to switch all of my stuff, like your makeup, your household products, your cleaning stuff, right? So like bleach and like all the other massive big companies out there that are very toxic, and like Pantene for like your hair, your shampoo, conditioner, all that stuff you want to switch out. So my main recommendation is, once you run out of the current things that you're in, switch to natural, non-toxic products. Yeah. And the best way of what you can do for that is, there's an app called Think Dirty.
So I was just going to say, I use that all the time.
Yep. And that's the easiest thing, because it's like, yeah, there's so, like, when you, because the biggest thing about that is, when you're trying to figure out what products to use, you look at the back and there's a bunch of, you know, names of things that you have no idea even how to pronounce. So just don't go through that hassle. Go download Think Dirty, and then it'll take all the guessing out.
Yeah, especially with all of the marketing out there with different products, like claiming that they're clean and everything. Like, I go into Target, anytime I go in there, like, you browse through the like face wash section or whatnot, there's all of this marketing around it being clean beauty and like clean sunscreen, clean face wash, things like that. And then like you scan it on Think Dirty and it's just like, it's really not. So yeah, definitely do your research before you purchase anything, because then if you find out, you buy it and then you find out that it's not even clean, then you're just wasting your money.
And it sucks. It gets me sometimes too. Like, even the marketing, they're so good at their job. You have to think about this whole business and industry. They're out for to be able to get money. They're not necessarily out for our health. So it's really up to us to be able to take it upon our own selves to make sure that we're living a really good, wholesome, healthy lifestyle. And usually, this is just something to really live by. Anything that is going to be on commercials or big brand names, they're 99% never going to be healthy or good for you. That's why you're going to have to always kind of look at some different brands and things like that to see, you know, how those are better as well.
So we talked about some foods. We talked about some products. What about exercise? Because I did not realize this until I was going through my own getting off of birth control journey. Mm-hmm. Like I mentioned, it was exercise is like huge when you're on that time of the month, because there was this misconception, at least from my end, and I know my sister mentioned it, is that like you know, we're basically just told like keep powering through, like exercise is great. Like, yeah, like I was like weightlifting on the week of my period and found out that that's actually like not the best for you. You want to allow yourself to rest and recover. So can you speak on anything on that?
Yes. So in specific, I just want to make sure that the women that are listening in here, we are talking about, if you suffer from PMS specifically and of all these different things, then this is going to apply to you. If you don't have horrible PMS and your periods are great and you have no issues, then this might not necessarily apply to you. So if you have really horrible PMS, during the days that you are bleeding, it is best recommended to not push yourself, to not overdo it, and to either not work out at all, or to opt in for very light movement. So that looks like walking or yoga, not hot yoga. That's going to overexert your system. You're going to die. Like, you're going to be sweating profusely. It's just, going to be too much for your system. When we think about it, the week of our hormones for the first main 3 to 5 days that you are bleeding, so your inner uterus lining is shedding, your hormones are at its lowest. So your progesterone, your estrogen, and your testosterone are at its absolute lowest. So knowing our internal system and what that's like, we don't want to go against the grain and overpush ourselves, even when we feel lethargic, even if we don't feel good, all these different types of stuff. You know, we've really kind of grown up in this world of hustle, 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 culture, and all that fun stuff. But a lot of those are coming from, if you think about it, is from a man's world. A man, they operate from a 24-hour hormonal cycle. They're the same every single day. Their hormones are the same every single day. And that's detrimental on us women because we don't operate hormonally from that same structure. So to be able to live by this 9 to 5 every single day, right? Mm-hmm. And we should be the same every single day. And we should do no matter what is detrimental to not only our mental capacity, but our physical capacity. It can actually wreak a lot of havoc down the road. And even thinking that just from a woman's standpoint that we can't keep up and we're not good enough and all these other types of stuff. Mm-hmm. When in reality, it's just where our hormones are. You're not supposed to overexert yourself during the days of your period. You should actually get ahead of it. And when you're tracking your period, to be able to see ahead of time, mm-hmm. what days am I bleeding, and to not schedule anything on those days. Mm-hmm. It's actually a time for you. It's very sacred because you are shedding your inner uterus lining. It's really best to not be around a bunch of people. Hormonally, it's not because you're at your lowest, you know, it's really best just to really attune to your own energy, to not do as much, to not overexert as much, making sure that it's just because your hormones are at its lowest, you're not overexerting that. And what mm-hmm. happens is when you do, when you overpush yourself, and when you do too intense things and go out and party, and do all the things and working out a bunch, you will burn out the following weeks after mm-hmm. because you're not being smart about working with your hormones and working against them and overriding that system. You're going to more so than not the next week or the week after your hormones are, you will burn out and you'll find that a day or two, you just don't even have the capacity to do anything because you didn't follow your hormonal cycle and relax. Your body was telling you to relax.
I'm just laughing because I think that's where I'm at today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm definitely feeling the effects of not, but I had a busy week. Like sometimes I guess sometimes it is hard. Like I had a busy week with work. I was studying all last week. And then naturally I wanted to celebrate and like be around like my friends and family over the weekend. And like, you know, I'm grateful for the opportunity and like, but I'm definitely feeling some of the effects this morning. Like, I feel like I'm like coming down today is like how I felt like all day. So any advice for anybody who might have like a very busy lifestyle, or maybe there's like one, you know, one of those weeks every couple of months, like they just have a lot going on and they can't really prioritize some of these things. Any advice for some of those people?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is making a choice and deciding, like, do you want to continue living the same lifestyle and getting the burnouts that you always have? And if you don't, you have to make a change. So if you try to do the same things over and over again, expecting results, again, this is insanity. Mm-hmm. So it's being proactive. That's all, being proactive, right? If you have a busy lifestyle and each week is relatively pretty busy, what can you do? Like, if you can get ahead of it and plan out your period and see that, you know, although you have a really incredibly busy week, you can't control, what can you control within those weeks to take out of your schedule, or just to do whatever you can to do less? So if you are... if you have a job that you can either work at home or go to the office, just doing small things like working at home. Mm-hmm. Maybe you do some work laying in bed if you can do that, right? Some people can't. Just making the small changes. You know, if you have like super intense workouts that you planned for that week and you're bleeding, take them off. Anything that you mm-hmm. don't have to do that's a priority for that week, push it out a couple days. And there's always things that you don't necessarily have to do those days, even though you would want to, just push them out a day or two, just as once you're done bleeding, or if you feel like you have the energetic capacity. You know, sometimes people get energy during their periods. Mm-hmm. Most women who deal with PMS, they don't, but it's also being very intuitive to how you're feeling. If you're feeling low energy mentally, physically, take that into account and start working with your body versus working against it, and then support mm-hmm. it, like B12 or green tea or going on a light walk or drinking more water or mm-hmm. making sure you're eating enough food, right? Mm-hmm. To be able to get those things. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, definitely answered my question. Cool. Now we talked a lot about like the week of your period. I know there's like different cycle, or there's different phases of the cycle. And mm-hmm. let's talk a little bit about like the week before and the week after.
Okay, so we talked about the week of our period. This week, it's, I like to call this week like your winter stage and all that fun stuff. And within that, we have, that's essentially like week one. Then we have week two. I like to call this your spring stage. So week one, your period, your hormones are at its lowest. And we talked about things that you should and shouldn't do during that. Then we go on to week two. And week two is called your spring stage. And what happens is your hormones of progesterone and estrogen and all of progesterone, estrogen, and testosterone, they start to come up. So things to kind of be in recognition of, once you're done with your period, you're in like this hibernative stage, which is something to really think about. Everything's within seasons. So in your period, you should be kind of like a bear in hibernation, just kind of staying away, doing your own thing, just let yourself bleed. Then we come out of it and it's like, all right, we have more energy. And within that more energy, we could definitely do more things. So working out a little bit harder, still allowing your body, still eating whole foods and so forth, but just knowing where our hormones are at, you know, your mood is going to get a little bit better. You're going to have a little bit more energy that's coming up. And this is the time to best focus on your to-do list, right? So all the things that you might have been pushing off on your period, pushing off during your period and didn't want to do, this is the best time to hone in the week after your period to start doing your to-do list, right? Because during the week of your period, your mental space also isn't that great. You don't have a mental clarity too much. And if you try to do a bunch of things on your to-do list, you can just kind of, more so from a general standpoint, it's really hard for some people to do that. When I've also tested this on my own, I personally have a lot of, like, I think it's a kapha. I have a lot of air energy for me personally. So when I'm on my period, I actually get a lot of stuff done because it's very grounding for me because I have less of that. So it's really interesting. But going on to your spring stage, you know, really kind of taking the time to get through your checklist, to-do list, and to focus on what you need and to do all of those things, considering that on your period, you weren't able to do as much of it that well. And then the next week goes into our summer phase. So your hormones are at its highest. This is also when you will be able to ovulate, like within the week of the summer, you'll have one day that you ovulate, and your hormones are at its highest. Everything is peaking during this time. So you're very energetic, very flowy, right? You have more air-like energy. This is a great time to go out and like help your friends out, do a bunch of different gatherings, go and party, do different things, whatever it may be if you want to party. But just know that the energy is going to coincide with these things. And then when you're ovulating, you'll notice different times of like, you have this, your skin is almost glowing. You just feel good. There's a way about you. Men might be more attracted to you during that time. I don't know if you've ever gone out and gone to a bar and like guys are like, for whatever reason, you're just like, a bunch of guys are just, I don't understand. Some people came up to me and whatever. It's more so than none because you're ovulating. And there's like this sense of just like, it's so inherent into us that like men are like, they're not conscious of it. It's just, they're like, oh, yeah, that person, so cool. I want to go mate with them. It's so cool. If you track it, Nikki, like you'll see like some of the days you're ovulating, you'll notice like more guys are hitting on you. And then you'll look back and like, I was either close to my ovulation or on my ovulation.
Right.
It's so funny. Yeah. So that's what's that like. And then we have the next week, which is your fall. So your hormones start to drop down. This, here's the tough thing about fall, and I'll make it pretty quick because I know we have to hop off here soon, but the week before our period is actually one thing we really want to take in consideration of, because our hormones, they, after the summer stage, they tend to continue going up, right? But then they drop down. So we have this sense of like all this energy, and then we're feeling good, and then no energy, and then we're not feeling good, or we're feeling off or weird. So to expect that you will not be hormonally level, you're not going to be level-headed during this time. Mm-hmm. It's just looking for your period with everything that your body is preparing for, because the hormones come up to be able to prepare for the egg for it to be fertilized. And when it doesn't get fertilized, if you don't get pregnant, all the hormones drop off. So that means like sudden mood shifts, mm-hmm. and you can be more agitated and more sensitive and just like less patient and just all of these different things. So the week before your period is really where to pay attention to. And it's something, if you have a partner, you always want to share with them so they understand where you're at. So if you're more short-tempered and you're not feeling that great and just hormonally you're just all over the place, and it's so helpful for your partner to understand that and know, considering where your hormones are at, and even yourself. A lot of times we can beat ourselves up for responding or reacting a certain way, and we just think that's what is, or maybe we just don't understand it, right? We don't even think about it. And then once we understand hormonally what's going on, we're like, okay, it's just not hormones. It's not me. Like, I'm not a bitch, you know, I'm not just like this way. It's actually like what my hormones are telling me.
Yeah.
So during this time too, it's continue eating the whole foods and stuff like that, but you know, then potentially lessen the workouts, not do as intense workouts. And then going back to like the summer stage, do extreme workouts, stuff like that. It's always combating within the energy that you feel. It's able to coincide with that, you know?
Sure.
That's really important.
Wow. Amazing. What inspired you to want to tap into all of this and teach all of this and ultimately become a holistic health coach?
Yeah, I mean, a big thing was going through my own health trials and tributes. You know, I, being born and raised from Alaska, I went through like a family death. And then shortly after I moved to Phoenix, Arizona, I had all these health issues that came back up again, which I kind of ignored when I was living in Alaska, like depression and anxiety, like high highs, low lows, painful, crazy periods. I didn't even know anything about my period. I didn't even know that we had different hormones that played into each week. So, you know, once I moved to Phoenix, my family death was still really raw. And then all of my health issues kind of came up, and, you know, there was so much that I wanted to do and accomplish. And my current day to day was so, for lack of better words, like miserable. I had to configure a better way so I can live a better life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that in and of itself really made me go heavy into my self-development and healing myself from the inside out. So I'd got issues too, thyroid issues, if you name it, I was dealing with it all. Mental health struggles, all of it. So that's why I went really heavy into my self-development, working with other coaches and so forth. You know, 5 years of just extensive research and, you know, got my certification, going to working with different coaches, therapists, health gurus, you name it, I was doing it all, going to retreats and traveling and paying for different, like conferences to kind of help me, whatever it did to like help me get ahead and understand myself better and be able to learn from a holistic health standpoint, to be able to heal myself. I did it and I spent the money on it. And then it just became really clear that what I struggled with, so many other women struggle with. So if I could put myself in a position that gave myself an edge to understand what to do and what not to do, and basically what took women 5 years, excuse me, what took me 5 years to do, be able to help women get to in 6 months. I mean, that's the goal. That's the dream. So.
Amazing. I love that you mentioned that, you know, it's been like a 5 month journey, and journeys are forever, you know, but I love that you mentioned it was a 5 month journey. Cause I was sitting with myself the other day and I was like, I've been on this healing journey for 2 years. And like, I still feel like I have a lot of work to do. And then I was like, wait a minute. Yeah. Like, you know, it, you don't have to put a timestamp on it and you'll eventually get to where you need to be. And that's why I really love that you're thriving now. And you're really, you've tapped into just like who I think that you've always envisioned that you wanted to be.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm still having to work on it. Mm-hmm. Like I thought after you're so funny, Nikki, because we're so much alike. It's like, it all freaks me out how much like,
I know.
It always does. Cause I remember I was like my 2-3 year mark. And I was like, all right, I've done all this work. I have this like in my head, like I should be done, you know, or like okay, I'm good. I can just like sit back and eat all the donuts and like, chill, you know, and you just, it really is an ongoing journey. It's a health lifestyle. You're changing your lifestyle. It's not like a diet. You do something for a little bit. It is really a lifestyle that over time it'll get easier and easier. And the more things you do, things will get so much better. And like I said, yes, I'm on year 5 and 6 and there's still things that are coming back up again because I let off the gas because I just stopped doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And then I figured out, oh, I shouldn't have done that because it really is a journey, but it's also part of it too. But yeah, I think it's a really great thing to bring up because a lot of people are like, yeah, I'll do this for a little bit and then just go back to my old ways. It's like,
right.
It's not about it. It's about changing the whole lifestyle.
So what advice would you give to younger Kai then?
What advice I would give to my younger self is don't get discouraged when one thing doesn't work out. Like, I think the biggest thing of what happened, or one of the big things that happened to me, was like, I would get really hard on myself and just really, I like hated myself through the process. I like, because I wasn't feeling good or things were going on and I was trying things out, and I would get into like almost these depressive states because I would not love myself. I would just get so shameful of me being where I'm at, my body not being where I was at, still dealing with some depression, anxiety, and I would get even more upset from that. And then I would shame myself, which would take me into a deeper like depression spiral, you know, or it would set me off into my triggers of like eating more food. Cause that was my, you know, I also emotionally ate quite a bit too, because I didn't know how to make myself feel better. And the only thing that I knew what to do was to eat. And so it just re-perpetuated my bad cycles. And so I think the biggest thing was to like, if what I could say in the beginning of my journey versus the end is like, you have to learn how to love yourself through the process and to give yourself so much grace and to talk to yourself like, you know, your mom would talk to you and like love you through it and like hold you. Like, that's what we need to give to ourselves, because you can't hate yourself to transform. I tried. It didn't work at all. And once I started learning to talk to myself better, you know, I have this thing where I do like this rebuttal, right? Every negative thing, I'll say three positive things, just to kind of retrain my brain to learn how to love myself through the process, you know, holding myself, as weird as that sounds, like literally just self-soothing and holding myself, and not shaming for eating pizza, you know, loving myself through the process, looking at my body with where it's at and like telling my body that, you know, I put myself through so much, and you digest all the crappy and good foods that I give to you. And I have two legs that I walk on, like, holy shit, I have so much. And just really be able to love myself through the process, because what we knew, we were, the information that we were given up to this point, like, we were doing the best that we could given the information that we've been given.
Right.
And unfortunately, we were put into a system where we were taught incorrect things so we can essentially, you know, stay sick and be controlled. So it's a really heavy process to decondition everything that we once and recondition ourselves to the actual true reality of what makes us healthy, which is a huge journey. And that's going to take time. Because, I mean, how long did it take us to get to this point? 20 years?
Right.
Oh, it's going to take time. And just be able to surround yourself with a beautiful support system that's going to hold you when you're having a tough day, you know, and be like, hey, you're doing good. Whatever. Little notes for yourself. Be like, hey, it's a bad day, not a bad life. Like, it's okay to feel what you're feeling, and also like to get up the next day. And that's also been my biggest thing, is like, find a really incredible support system for yourself, which I didn't, because I had anyone, but like people that love you and like will just hold you when you're not okay, you know, like anyone, like someone that really cares for you, just to hold you, like that in and of itself is just something else. So even if you don't have anyone, you hold yourself.
Love that. Amazing. Well, this was so helpful. I feel like I could talk about this all day, because there's some like hormone influencers that I follow on Instagram, and like, it's a little extreme sometimes, or like eat like a cow liver and like sardines. And I'm like, I'm good. Like, I'll get my fats elsewhere. But exactly. I think this was a perfect like high level of, you know, how we can regulate our bodies, regulate our hormones to have that healthier mindset and healthier body. So thank you so much for being here, sharing all of your knowledge around this topic that I know is going to help so many women and men along their health journey. So thanks so much, Kai. I really appreciate you being on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys. Really appreciate it. And yeah, if you want to find more of me, you can find me on Instagram at the Kai Christensen. That's going to be my main source. And I hope you guys enjoyed. If you have any additional questions, don't be afraid to reach out. Thank you so much, Nikki, for having me on. I love chatting with you so much.